Thank you for joining us today. Our hope is that you will be encouraged, inspired, and challenged by today's message. We also invite you to connect with us on all social media outlets. Now, let's go live into the message.
Job chapter 1, verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Talking about the struggle is real. The subtitle, the double portion process. The struggle is real, but God is greater. Somebody say that with me. The struggle is real, but God is greater. Praise God. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Last session, we kicked off talking about the struggles of life, that if you live long enough, you're going to have some struggles. Struggles don't last, just like storms don't last, and the dry seasons and valleys do not last, but faith-filled people do. That you will make it on the other side of your valley, that you will make it at the mountaintop that is in front of you. You will make it if you just keep trucking, if you just keep faithing, if you just keep worshiping, if you just keep praying. We understand that we go from faith to faith, what we talked about last session, from victory to victory. However, we do not jump from one mountaintop to the next. There is a valley in between each mountaintop. But we discussed that vegetation doesn't grow at the top of a mountain, that fruit grows in the valley. And so out of the darkest moments of your life, you're going to produce the most. We talked about how you really don't find out who you are until you're in the valley. And it was in my notes, and I didn't say it, so I'll just throw it out here. You don't find out who your real friends really are until you're in the valley. But understand that God's got a plan for you, Joe. And you might be a modern-day Job, and it looks like all hell has come against you, and you can make a long list of everything you've lost in 2019 or before. But I am here to tell you that if you look at the book of Job, Job is a testimony that God, even when Job was at his lowest, was still with Job. And even though Job was fighting tooth and nail to get everything back, at the end of this process, Job is given two times, a double portion of everything that was taken from him. Can I encourage you, if you can just endure the nighttime, the morning is going to dawn. The sun will rise again. You have not lived your greatest day. You have not had your greatest triumph. I know, Job, it looks bleak now, and I know everybody's turned their back on you, and it doesn't look like it's going to work out. But if you have faith in God, it's going to work out. If you just keep your faith focused on Jesus, it is going to work out. When we look at the book of Job, we automatically think that it is an autobiographical sketch of Job's life, that Job wrote this about himself, but most scholars do not believe that he wrote it about himself because it gives his date of death and his time of death and where he died, and so most likely it was not written by Job. Most scholars would actually say that it was written by Moses. Some scholars say Job was an associate of Moses' father-in-law. Others say that he was one of Pharaoh's top advisors. Regardless of who wrote it, most would agree that Job didn't write it. And I say that to say this. It was an eyewitness account of the highs and the lows of Job's life. Which I say that to say this. Remember, no matter when you're high or when you're low, somebody is always watching. They're watching how you react when you get success. And when you get success, was it by your hand or was it by God's hand? But they're really looking at how we handle the trouble of life and the struggles of life. And I'm thankful that whoever wrote Job lived long enough and stayed with Job long enough that they could see, man, everything seems to be against Job. But Job wakes up the next day and he's still talking about God and there's still a desire to become something greater. And the eyewitness of Job's life stayed until the very end so that they could see the double portion process in his life. Turn to your neighbor and tell him there's always somebody watching. Tell him live faith. Praise God. Job chapter 1 verse 1 is where we started tonight. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was four things: perfect, upright, feared God, and eschewed evil. When we look at the word perfect, that word perfect means complete. understand that when you see the word perfect in the Word of God, it doesn't mean mistake-free. It means complete. As long as you and I are on this earth, we're going to make mistakes. We're going to say things that we shouldn't say. We're going to do things that we shouldn't do. Sometimes we're not going to do things we should do. Sometimes we're going to have a wavering moment, a negative moment, a lack of faith moment. Sometimes we're going to stumble and fall flat on our face like David did, like a lot of the great men and women of the Word of God did. But I want to encourage you that God says that we can have a perfect life here on this earth, meaning whatever I have need of is given to me by God into my life, meaning I am complete and I am wanting nothing. That was a good place to say amen right there. Because it doesn't matter what we're talking about. We could be talking about your relationships. We could be talking about your bank account. We could be talking about your emotional state. We could be talking about 100 other things. And God said, when you have a relationship with me, and we know that Jesus Christ is who we have that relationship through to get to the Father. And so we understand that because of Jesus Christ, we are complete. Everything I needed, I found in Jesus. The day that I got saved, the day that I said yes to Jesus, the day that I made him Lord and continue to make him Lord of my life, God opened up his warehouse to me and said, Brandon, anything that you need is available to you. And so the first thing we know about Job is that Job was complete, that he had everything that God had called him to have. Number two, he was upright. Upright means honest. Man, there's a lost trait. Just being honest, not lying, not telling half-truths, not telling a little truth. He was honest, but I love this next one. He was of high moral standard. Morality is lost in a lot of our generation. They're talking about things that people used to not talk about in private. Now they're talking about them in public. We see it on our movie screens, on our TV, on our television sets. We hear them in the music. We see them on commercials. We even hear that craziness sometimes from pulpits in church. And the morality has sunk, but I'm here to tell you, as the morality is sunk, there is a remnant of believers that said, hey, I want to be upright. It doesn't matter what is in vogue, and it doesn't matter how everybody else is living their life. I'm living my life by a standard that is set forth in the Word of God, and I've got good news and bad news. For those of us that are living upright, the Word of God has never changed. But the bad news is for those of us that have changed our morality, the Word of God has never changed. It is not matching the Word to our life, but Job said, God, if you will teach me how to walk, that is how I'm going to walk. If you teach me how to live, that is how I'm going to live. Number three, he feared God. Wasn't scared of God, but he respected God. He revered God. He was in awe of God. I grew up in a house where we still got whipped. Anybody still believe in whippings? All the kids are next door. It's all right. You can wait. You can raise your hand. And I remember when I was 6, 7, 8 years old and I saw Pastor Becky or Bishop reach for the belt, reach for the broom, whatever it was. The water hose? No, they never reached for a water hose. That's tough. Or an extension cord, that's like the real deal. I remember I was scared. You know when they start reaching and you just automatically start backing up and you start dancing even if you can't dance. Hold still, and you can't hold still. Don't look back. Look straight at that wall, and you're looking back, and you're dodging, and you're dipping, and all of this stuff. And at first, you're scared. But then, all they have to do is reach for the belt, and you stand up straight. I tell parents all the time, if you whip them right the first few times, you don't have to do it all the time. But what was fear as a child turned into a healthy respect for the moral conduct and codes that we're supposed to live at, but it turned into a healthy respect for my parents. I want to encourage you that as we grow in the things of God, we are not to fear God that he's going to thump us on the head and snuff us out, but we are to have a respect of God that, God, whatever you do, if you rebuke me, if you chastise me, you are building me as a believer. And I believe if you rebuke and chastise me on Monday, I'm going to be a better believer on Tuesday. I'm going to raise my life. That's why accountability and mentorship is so important. And when you open yourself up to accountability, you have to realize that people are going to tell you truths about yourself that you're not going to like. And so if you get offended, you're not going to grow. Understand this. Every time you're offended, whether it's in church or in the world, you've stopped growing. Because every time we have an offense or we take offense in our life, we have an opportunity to grow. And I'm going to be better because of that. Even if what you're offended about is true, you can still grow from that and say, you know what? I can take offense to that, or I'm going to grow from that. I'm going to grow out of that. I'm going to grow as a response to that thing. And so Job lived a life that was of high moral character, that who he was, that he feared God and he respected God. He respected God's word, God's statutes. Fourth thing here is he eschewed evil. Eschewed evil means he avoided evil. That means wherever he knew evil was going to be, he didn't show up. That means every place he knew evil was, he wasn't going to show up. That doesn't mean you don't go to work, but that means you don't go to happy hour after work. Because you know at happy hour, all they're going to be doing is running down your boss who you expect to give you a raise. All they're going to be doing is talking about all of this craziness. They're going to be defaming. They're going to be profane. They're going to be doing all of these things. And so he said, wherever evil is, I'm not going to show up there. I'm going to avoid it. And then the Bible also says that eschewed means to shun. He literally was outspoken against the evils of that time. Can I encourage you that everything that Job was is the reason why he was blessed. The reason why that we see that the devil ends up attacking him, which is what we're about to get, is because of who he was in Jesus Christ. That he was perfect, that he was upright, that he did fear God, that he did avoid evil. All of these things that we should be striving to be is the reason he was attacked, which is why a lot of people won't do those things, not because it's too hard, but because it attracts attack. Realize the moment you say, I'm going to live for God, there is a target on your back. The moment you say, I'm going to have a high moral standard, there is going to be a target on your front and your back. And so in verse 2 it says, and there was born unto Job. And we get a little bit of biography about Job. There was born unto Job 7 sons and 3 daughters. The author of Job establishes relationship, and this is key to the story. 7 sons, 3 daughters, 10 children. Verse 3, his substance was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, which is actually 1,000 oxen, 500 she-asses, and a very great household, so that the man was the greatest of all the men of the East. So now the author establishes possessions. First, he established relationships. Now he's establishing possessions. Understand this. Job was a great man by God's standards and the world standards. God said he's great because he fears me. He's upright. He's great because he avoids evil. He's great because he's complete. He's perfect. But the world said he's great because he's got thousands of livestock. He's got a beautiful house. He's got wonderful kids. And so he's great by God and by man's standards, which is important. Verse 4, and his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, Job sent and sanctified them, rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all, offered a burnt offering for each of his 10 children. For Job said, if it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. And so Job did this continually. Every day, billionaire Job worshiped God. Every day, billionaire Job prayed to God. Can I encourage you? If you don't pray when you're broke, you're not going to pray when you have billions. And if you don't pray when you're broke, you're probably not going to get to billionaire status or more than enough status. The author establishes his worship and his prayer life. Verse 6, now there was a day when the sons of God, oh, it's about to get good. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord, verse 7, said unto Satan, where did you come from? And Satan answered and said, Lord, from going to and fro in the earth, from walking up and down in it. Job 1:7 in the NIV says it like this. The Lord said to Satan, where have you come from? And Satan said, from roaming throughout the earth, going back and forth on it. John 10:10 says, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He was looking on the earth for someone to steal from, to someone to kill, and someone to destroy. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, there it is again, seeking whom he may devour. No matter how much the devil fronts, he has zero power and authority. I'm going to say this, and I want you to write it down, tweet it, memorize it, whatever you have to do. Satan is still accountable to God. That was a good place to say amen. Satan is still accountable to God. How do I know that? Because Satan tries to come sidling in with the sons of God into heaven, and the Bible says that God said, where have you been? Now, Satan's front to us is that he's a mean, bad boogie daddy. But when God asks him a question, what does Satan do? Answers. He says, Satan, you're in my house. I created this world. Where have you been? Well, I've been in the earth. What have you been doing on the earth? I've been going to and fro. I've been going in and out. I've been looking. I've been going all through that. Understand this, that after all is said and done, Satan is still accountable to God, which means this: God always knows where Satan is. He always knows what Satan is doing. He always knows what Satan has planned. He always knows the strategy of Satan. And here this conversation in heaven is going on so that Satan knows that God still is keeping tabs on him. I might have kicked you out of heaven, but I still know where you are. I still know where you sleep. I still know whose targets you placed on my sons and my daughter's back. And I need you to know, Satan, that God still knows exactly who you are and what you're about. And I'm here to tell you on a Wednesday night, don't think that God has forgotten you. God hasn't forgotten you, and he knows exactly what state you're in. He knows exactly what city you're in. He can tell me the address. You're going to lay your head down at night, but I'm here to tell you he also knows where the devil's going to lay his head down tonight, and he's going to keep him from your house. He's going to keep him from my house. He's going to keep a hedge of protection around me and around you. And so I rejoice in the fact that God would ask Satan the question, where have you been? You cannot go places unless I allow you, come on now, to go. Verse 8, and the Lord said unto Satan, has thou considered my servant Job? Satan, you've been walking all night, looking up and down the block, and you haven't found somebody to attack, to steal, to kill, and destroy. You've been roaming about as a lion, seeking whom you may devour. You haven't found anybody to devour. And God speaks up and he says, have you considered Job? I love this because I'd never thought about this until now. If he had given the devil apt time to respond, I think the devil would have said, I have considered Job. But Job is perfect. He's upright. He avoids evil. And he fears you. I've considered Job every day, but there's no way that I would attack him because he's got too much of you. I'd rather pick somebody who does not love you, who does not serve you, who does not follow you. But at the end of the day, the devil doesn't have to attack people like that. Therefore, the reason that he is walking up and down, not being able to find anybody who he can attack, is everybody who he can attack, he doesn't need to attack. They're doing bad all by themselves. Come on now, I'm preaching now.
And the people he could attack or wants to attack, he cannot attack because he feels they've got a force field around them. They serve Jehovah God. They've accepted Jesus Christ into their life. They're spirit-filled. They're worshipers. They're intercessors. They're praisers. They're prayer warriors. And so I would dare not touch somebody who avoids evil, who fears God, who's upright, who's perfect, who's complete, and all of those things. I have considered him God, but there's no way that I would ever try. And God said, Why wouldn't you try him? And this is what Job says. Job says there's only one reason that he worships you. He said, God said there's none like Job on all the earth. And then he says it again. He's perfect. He's upright. He fears me. He eschews evil. God boasts to Satan about Job's goodness. That's why you should never hide or apologize for your relationship with God, for God's blessing, for God's favor on your life. Because if you don't say it, God's still saying it. God sits in heaven and boasts about his children. He gushes like a proud father. And so it does not make sense when God is telling all of heaven, all of hell, and Satan himself how blessed you are, only for us to walk out this door to zip our lip and not talk about the goodness of God until we meet a greeter on Sunday or next Wednesday. I will never apologize for the blessing of God on my life. I will never cower in the corner when I have a chance to talk about the favor of God in my life. I will never dumb my relationship down. If I am saved, yes, I am. I'm what you would call a fanatic. I'm what you would call a holy roller. I speak in tongues. I cast out devils. There have been a time or two I've fallen out in the floor. There's been a couple times I've run the aisles. I've danced. I've done all. I'm not going to hide who I am, because who I am is what's going to get me to that double portion of what God has called me to be. I'm not going to fear God in private. I'm going to give God the respect and reverence anytime, anywhere, at the drop of a hat. It doesn't matter what's going on. I'm going to give God that respect. I'm going to be perfect and upright, even in imperfect situations. Come on now, I'm going to avoid evil, and if I see it coming this way, I'm going to head this way. If evil shows up at a house I'm hanging out at, I'm just going to have to excuse myself. Why? Because I understand there's a double portion in front of me, and I understand that I'm in the middle of a struggle, and I'm going to outlive the struggle. But if I get involved in the evil, if I dumb down my standards, if I don't fear and respect God, I'm going to stay in the valley a lot longer than I would have ever had to stay in the valley. But I've got an appointment on the other side of this valley, and I'm not going to retard my progress to get to where God is taking me, all because I am quiet about what God has done. God boasts, have you considered my servant Job? Verse 9, and Satan answered and said unto God, does Job fear God for nothing? This is Satan's argument. Job is only good because you have blessed him abundantly. However, I believe that God blessed him abundantly because Job was good. He was perfect, upright, feared God, eschewed evil, and God honors faithfulness and obedience. However, in my maturation of a believer, I realized that Job was blessed not because he was good, but because God is good. And so the devil had it twisted and said the only reason that those people at Living Way praise you and they worship you like they worship, the only reason they give 10, 12, and 15% of their income, the only reason that they show up on a Wednesday night in holiday season when they could be kicked back at home or they could be out shopping, the only reason is because you've blessed them. And they think that if they don't show up at church, you're going to stop the blessing. And this is what I want to encourage you. There is a blessing that comes from God that is not driven by what we do, but there's a
blessing that comes from God when we understand that God is good because of who He is. And who He is blessing enough. God, I'm not here for the stuff. I'm here for You. God, I'm not here for Your hand. I'm here for Your face. If I could just spend some time with You, God, that's why I showed up on a Wednesday. Oh, God, I could use a little more money in my bank account. I could use a little more love in my marriage. I could use a little more strength in my children. But God, if You don't do anything else, You've done enough. And I've come to rendezvous. I've come to express. I've come to experience something from God. He said, does Job fear God for nothing? Verse 10, this is what Satan says. Almost sounds like a Living Way Wednesday night testimony service. This is Satan saying this. Has not thou made a hedge around Job, about his house, about all that he has on every side? Haven't you blessed the work of his hands? Haven't you given him substance that is increased in the land? You know our God is good when the devil starts testifying. He says three things. He says, you put a hedge around him. You put a hedge around his house, and you put a hedge around his stuff. That's what we call protection. You know why I know the devil knows there's a hedge around Job? Because he's tried to attack Job. He considered Job, but every time he came against Job, there was a force field of faith. There was a hedge of holiness around Job that every time that Satan tried to do something, he realized, man, Job's got some faith that I've never seen before. God is protecting Job. And because he's protecting Job, I can't get to Job. And so the devil starts testifying. He said, Job's got a hedge of protection. Come on, believer in this house. Aren't you glad that you've got a hedge of protection around you? Aren't you glad that God fights for us when we sleep? Aren't you glad that God fights for us when we're too weak to fight? Aren't you glad that when we're getting ready to throw in the towel, God takes that towel and dabs our brow and says, get back in there. We're about to win the battle, which is going to lead us to win the war. I'm here to tell you, God is protecting you. He says, you blessed the work of his hands. He said, I've tried to steal from him and I can't steal. Everything that man Job touches, it turns to gold. Everything that Job gets involved with, it works. His job is flourishing because he works there. His family is flourishing because he is there. And so I want to encourage you that when the devil begins to testify on the blessing of Job, the devil knows that God is a good God. The devil knows that Job has been blessed. Can I encourage you, if the devil recognizes who that blessing comes from, then we ought to recognize doubly who that blessing comes from. It didn't come from the sweat of my brow. It didn't come from the intellect in my brain. Everything I have came from God. It was God who rolled me out of bed this morning. It was God who gave me enough sense to be able to tie my shoes. It was God who kept me safe on Interstate 35 to come to the house today. It was God who kept every demon out of hell away from me today. I can't stand if God don't prop me up. I can't speak if God don't breathe through me. God has blessed me. Woo. And then he says, you've increased his substance. He said, you blessed him that whatever his hand touched, he received. But then you blessed what he already had and you multiplied it. Let's end here tonight, verse 11. This is what Job says. This is what Satan says to God about Job, but put forth thy hand now and touch all that he has. Take it all away, and he will curse thee to thy face. The devil knew a lot, but he didn't know enough, which is why he got kicked out of heaven. He knew just enough to get him in trouble, but he did not know enough. He said the only reason he loves you and worships you and is upright and does avoid evil and does fear, the only reason
is because you have put that hedge around him and you have blessed him. But if you put your hand against him and you take everything away from him, he will turn around and the same voice that he used to worship you, he will curse you. And the same hands that he used to raise to praise you, he will shake a fist at you. And this is what God said. And I love, God is such an OG. The Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. One translation said it like this, and this is something you need to realize about God. God said, I won't touch him, but I'll give you permission to touch him. I won't take his stuff, but I'll give you permission. You say, what does that show me about God? That God never takes anything good away from me. But what it also proves to me is that the devil cannot attack me unless he goes to heaven and petitions to attack me. Come on now. This is where somebody's theology is going to be messed up tonight, because he was trying to attack Job but couldn't get to Job. He had considered Job, but when he went to heaven, God said, have you considered my servant Brandon, who is upright, who fears me, who is complete, who avoids all of the evil? Have you considered Brandon? Because I think that if you wanted to, you could come against Brandon, but all Brandon loves me. You could take all of his stuff and he's still going to worship. And then Job said, but the only reason he worships you is because of the stuff you've given him and what you've done for him. And God said, that's not true. I give you permission to take his stuff. I won't take it, but you can. But you've never done that, God. I know he wasn't ready for me to allow you to attack him last year, but he's ready now. You know, we preach that God will not put on you more than you can bear, that he will not press you past the point of temptation, past the point that you're ready to be tested. You know, you have some of those years where you're not touched and you're not attacked, and we look at that as a blessing. Sometimes we shouldn't look at not being attacked as a blessing. We should look at it as a liability, that the reason I am not attacked is because I'm not ready to be attacked and that God has not let him all. Come on, somebody. But when the devil shows up in my life and starts attacking me, I know that he's already been to the throne room of heaven. I know that he had to get direct permission from God to even show up at my house, and when he starts touching my stuff and grabbing at my stuff, I already know that there is a double portion in 2020 that is in front of me. And so I say, devil, bring it on. And I get ready to fight, and I start swinging, and I start praising, and I start worshiping. But in the back of my mind, the entire time I'm fighting with the adversary, I'm laughing, because I know you had to go get permission from my daddy to even show up at my house. And the only reason my daddy lets you show up at my house is because he knows I'm going to kick you in your teeth, and he knows that 6 months from now, I'm going to be doubly blessed. I'm going to be twice as good as I've ever been, and my faith will not be shaken. My worship will not waver, and my eyes will be more focused on Jesus than they've ever been before. Stand on your feet. Stand on your feet. This story gets better. Job says, take all of his stuff away. God said, I don't take away. I give. Every good thing I've given him, I'm not going to touch, but you can. But one more thing before you leave. Don't get so excited. One more thing, he tells Satan. You cannot kill him. But the devil's still excited because he realizes he don't have to kill most of us to make us lose faith. He don't have to kill most of us to get us to curse God. He don't have to kill most of us to get us to quit coming to church. He don't have to kill most of us to get us to quit tithing. He don't have to kill most of us. All he has to do is start messing with our stuff. Remember, the first thing that the author establishes his relationship, the first thing that happens is all 10 of his kids are in a nice house eating and feasting. And what happens? The roof falls in and kills all 10 of them. That's enough to put most people under. The devil starts attacking your relationships. He can't kill you, and so he starts attacking all your relationships so that you get your eyes off of God and you start getting it back on people. Can I encourage you? There's somebody who went through a messy divorce this year. That divorce is behind you. You need to start focusing on what's in front of you. Jesus is in front of you. God's got a plan in front of you. God's got slow your roll on getting involved with somebody else, and why don't you date God for a while? Why don't you spend time with Jesus for a while? There's somebody who's gone through some messy relationship issues between step
step-parents and step-brothers and step-sisters. I want to encourage you, the devil messes with those relationships so that you get your eyes off of Jesus and you forget that God's got a double portion in front of you if you can just get through whatever. There is a struggle in front of you, and the struggle is real, but remember, God is greater, and there is something greater in front of you if you'll just stand the test of time. Closing with this. 10 kids gone. Now all of his livestock, thousands of head of livestock, drop dead. Servant comes and tells him, all of your livestock is dead. All your money's gone, Job. I know you just buried all of your kids. Now your provision, your job, your kingdom that you've built is imploding. If the relationship mess doesn't get you, he'll start messing with your stuff. And your job is having problems, or you get that pink slip. Your money starts running out. Things start happening in your life. Come on, Job. You're going to outlive whatever you're facing today if you'll keep focused on Jesus. Come on, remember, you're perfect. You're complete. It might have been taken from you, but it's coming back at least twofold. Proverbs says it's coming back sevenfold when the thief is found. I'm here to tell you there is going to be a brighter day, but you've got to get through this struggle. And this struggle's not just going to end on its own. You've got to strengthen up. You've got to courage up. You've got to level up in faith and announce to the devil, I know you showed up, but my God is still good. And it perplexes the devil because he said the only reason you worship is because God had blessed you. And now that everything's being taken from you, you still stand and worship. Called the sacrifice of praise. The sacrifice of praise is what puts the devil in his place, because his whole contention is the only reason you're here is because God's been good to you. But the moment that you start experiencing bad, you're going to turn your back on God. That is not how we live. We're people of faith. Faith is made strongest